Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the one life, one humanity. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust. Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. Following thought also comes from the works of Alice Bailey. The challenge to the world is to drop all antagonisms and antipathies, all hatred and racial differences, and attempt to live in terms of the one family, the one life, and the one humanity. Those are such beautiful words, and probably no one listening to this program would disagree with them. Why is it so hard to put this aspiration into practice?
I suppose our ideals precede our actual expression and behavior and even our thinking. The mind is a funny thing, you know, and the mind and the heart can occupy different territories all at the same time. We can have very high-minded aspirations and ideals that we live by and yet consistently fall short of them, and that's the dichotomy and the duality of being human. We are both divine and mortal. We are both spirit and matter. And getting the matter part, the substance of our physical and emotional and mental bodies to behave according to the instructions that our soul would give them is not so easy. That's why it's so hard to change. Even though we want to with all our being, change comes slowly, and I'm not able to say why that is. It just seems to be a very slow process. Changing ourselves is kind of like turning an ocean liner around. It doesn't happen on a dime. And it takes enormous patience and forgiveness of ourselves. And when it comes to others, patience and forgiveness of them and tolerance and a kind of a sustaining love that says, I can do better, he or she can do better, and I will stand with them until they and I do better. But the aspiration for realizing the one life in the one humanity is something I think really deeply anchored in the human consciousness at this time. One of the funny things about Nelson Rockefeller, if you remember him, he was running for president years ago, and he was the governor of New York State, and he used to talk about the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God so much and so often on the campaign trail that the reporters covering his campaign made an acronym of it. They called it bomb fog, because he was always referring to the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. They called it bomb fog. And yet, I suppose if you could sit down with Lawrence Rockefeller and ask him, he really believed in it. You know, there was something about those words that probably inspired him, and I hope inspired his audience at the time. The trouble is that referring to it so often is perilously close to a platitude, and bomb fog kind of expresses the platitudinous nature of what are deep spiritual aspirations.
Yes, and we should realize those deep aspirations come from deep within us, and they come actually from the soul. Those are soul expressions, because that's the way the soul thinks in terms of wholeness, in terms of oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of the characteristics of the soul, the qualities that the soul expresses, is this sense of universal, inclusive love, and everything stems from that. And if the more that one is in touch with that, that those qualities, then I think that's what they tend to express in those terms. The words they use in life, the way they express life, the way they look at life, the way they understand life in the world, that a lot of that comes right from the soul.
Mm-hmm. And we say sometimes that somebody gives lip service to an ideal or an aspiration, but that's a beginning. I don't think it's sheer hypocrisy to speak in terms of these ideals if they are sincere and if one is really endeavoring to express them, to manifest them in one's own thought and relationships. But we all fall short of the mark, and those who don't especially wish us well tend to focus on the times when we fall short, and they brand one a hypocrite. But that doesn't necessarily mesh with the judgment of the soul. I think the soul is infinitely patient, and so should we be. The question of what really unites us, I think, is one of the, maybe the central question of our time. What really unites us? Because on the one hand, we are so aware of the diversity of the human experience today, what with communications and travel. You can say on one level those are making us more aware of our common humanity, and they are. They are also making us aware of the enormous diversity and range of the human experience. And people who live in a great city like New York or Mumbai know this better than anyone, that there are enormous differences and divisions among people, and at the same time there's a oneness that links us all. Interestingly, just recently there were two experiences within the span of a couple of days that brought this diversity and this oneness home, at least to me. There was a terrible train explosion in the subway system of Mumbai, India, that killed several hundred people and injured hundreds more. And I was reading in the paper about these business class carriages, if not first class, were where the 7 or 8 explosions occurred, intentionally, apparently. And yet the tracks of the subway system in Mumbai run along neighborhoods where very, very poor people live. And immediately upon the explosion, these very poor people came rushing out of their homes down to the carriages that had been blown up with their threadbare sheets and saris to provide a kind of a stretcher for the injured, because they knew there wouldn't be any stretchers on the scene. I find that amazing.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, and inspiring and hopeful that the very poorest responded without thought, without any planning or deliberation. That to me is a guarantee of the oneness of humanity, that instinctively we respond on that level and with a desire to help and sustain the suffering. And we saw the same thing in other disasters after the tsunami, after September 11th. People immediately responded with love and help. But a couple of days after that, and on a more immediate level, we were riding on the A train, commuting home, and the train was very crowded. It was very hot that day. It was the end of the day, lots of people standing, and all of a sudden we could hear these raised voices in the other end of the car. We couldn't see anything because there were so many people between us and the disturbance, but the voices got louder and louder, and pretty soon all of the people in the other end of the car came up towards our end because the people who were arguing had decided they would fight it out on the floor of the subway car. And they, they're fighting and screaming and yelling, and everybody's moving to our end to get away from them. And then somebody pulls the emergency brake. So there we are sitting in the middle of this dark tunnel somewhere near 125th Street, and the conductor has to call for the police, and the police come. And these hapless, silly people that had been fighting with each other had to be restrained and put in handcuffs and taken off the subway car. So my point being that we can talk about the one humanity, but sometimes our daily reality is that total strangers are willing to just kill each other over what? A seat? A disrespectful attitude? Probably nothing at all. And they're ready to just kill each other. So what unites us? I don't know.
Well, that's the problem, is we tend to also see what divides us too often, too. And that there's probably too much emphasis on what divides us, because what divides us usually ends up in the news. It makes more headlines. But there's more blood on the scene, so I mean, it makes more of a, you know, an image. But you're right. There is both factors, and that's hopeful. I think that's what, because as you say, the goodness in humanity, the open human heart, does respond to a crisis, to an emergency like that, and it seems to be doing it more and more. Yeah, throughout the world, and this is a hopeful sign, because it really outweighs the divisiveness in the human kingdom, I think.
The differences that we've always tended to emphasize are things like differences of race, of religion, language, culture, geography, and we think these are so important, but in fact those differences really have to do with the outer form. And they aren't as important, I think, as differences in consciousness. That's where we really find difficulty in uniting, because we're not all at the same level of consciousness. And you see this within a family. You see this in between siblings who were born with the same genetic makeup, the same parents, probably the same life experiences, the same education and opportunities, and yet they can be remarkably different from each other, and the lines of communication between them can often be very, very thin. And that difference among people who have had the same outer experience, occupy the same religion, race, social structure, and so on, has to do with consciousness. That's where the real cleavage probably lies, and where the spanning, the bridging, needs to occur.
Yes, as it says in numerous places in the Alice Bailey books, that humanity is already one. We just don't know it yet. It isn't a fact in our consciousness. And but underneath that, at the spiritual level, there is this oneness that already exists. And that's what we have to kind of bring forward and realize.
And I think this bridging that we have to bring about has to come from those who can grasp or imagine or visualize, believe in the oneness of humanity. There's a limit to what we can ask for those who are deeply separative and limited in their imagination. But those who can encompass the oneness of humanity in their minds and hearts, they have to be the ones who make the bridge.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, the one life, one humanity. And we have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company today, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity. Serving Humanity is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. And the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling. The price is $19. Serving Humanity is an inspiring compilation of extracts that will help the reader's understanding of the part humanity plays in the divine plan and the underlying oneness that unites us all. What you need to do if you want to take advantage of this offer is write a check or money order to Lucis Publishing and send it to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, it's a check or money order, $19 for the book Serving Humanity. And send that $19 check or money order to make it out to Lucis Publishing and send it to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And be sure to mention you heard this offer on InnerSight to avoid being billed for shipping costs. We appreciate your support, and you've supported us in many ways by listening to the show, but also by helping us to stay on the air. And it's actually through your donations, your tax-deductible donations to us, that we've been able to keep this program, InnerSight, on WOR. So please continue to make those donations. Our contract is coming up. We'd like to renew, but we need to be able to pay for it. So we'd certainly appreciate your continued financial support. Any donations that you may want to make to Lucis Trust, you would write us a check or money order, send it to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. So once again, we appreciate your support, and any donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S, so that's Lucis Trust. We also have a toll-free number, and we welcome you to call us anytime you need to contact us for any reason, whether it's to order other books, or if you'd like a package of general information that will tell you a lot about Lucis Trust. Please give us a call on our toll-free number, which is 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NEW-YORK-LUCIS. Our website is www.lucistrust.org, and many people key into that website, and they get a lot of information about Lucis Trust and all the many activities that we're involved in, but also many of them key into the website because they listen to the previously archived library of radio shows. All of our InnerSight programs can be heard on our website, and on the homepage you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, it's www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website. Also, you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. I was thinking that in reference to what we're talking about today and the One Humanity, it makes what you and Dale are saying is that we really have to set forth more effort. And I remember a quotation, I wish I could remember where it came from, that if mankind spent as much time uniting humanity as science has spent dividing the atom, that we'd probably have peace and harmony in the world. So and that quotation applies effort too. And if there is effort involved in uniting humanity, what is it that people should do in general to pull us all together into One Humanity?
I think start with their own attitudes and learn to be really clear in their analysis of their own attitudes. You can't just give yourself a pass and say, well, I'm inclusive in consciousness, I love everybody. You have to really start watching your speech and your thought, especially when you're in situations where you are with people who don't make a lot of sense to you, that don't share your experience, or you don't particularly feel that you have a lot of common ground. Those are the very times when you have to find another way to approach them, another path in consciousness that can embrace their humanity without necessarily wanting to share or being able to walk in their shoes. There's something subjective below the surface that we have to look for that is the central factor of the One Humanity. It's called the soul, the Christ principle, and we have to learn to sense it even in people who are seemingly so different and so apart from us. But I think it's something that can be cultivated. Look around you the next time you're on the subway or in a busy marketplace or whatever, and try to see the people around you as souls, and you'll get a sense of how much alike humans are.
And I think what is stressed in the writings of Alice Bailey a lot is the building of right human relations and relationships. And that probably more than anything will eventually help to bring about a sense of this oneness, because to build right relationships, what is needed is the energy of goodwill. And that activates the heart center, because it's an act of love. It's love in action, really, when using goodwill energy to build right human relations. And it's building these relationships between people, between communities, between nations, that eventually will begin to manifest in the outward level what already exists at the soul level. The soul, as you say, already has a sense of and is an expression of this oneness. And we have to bring that out into the world.
And I think if you look at human history in the last couple of centuries, and especially the last few decades, there's been a tremendous amount of creative effort to build these right human relations. You see it in the thousands of NGOs, non-governmental organizations, non-profit groups, charitable institutions, and community-level groups that are all working to create more harmony, more understanding between peoples, and on so many different levels, not only in the traditional fields of religion and psychology and social welfare and so on, education, but also in some very creative ways, like the group that exchanges homes with people who live in other countries. You join it, and you can travel to other members' homes and exchange your home for theirs for a given amount of time, just for the experience of living in another culture. And there are many groups like that. They're quite imaginative in building links and bridges among people that don't take government involvement, don't take the mandate of the church or of any institution. They're just kind of ad hoc things that people are creating.
Well, right. I mean, it's after all, it's the one humanity and not the one government of the world. So, I mean, it's not a government project, and it shouldn't be. No, it should come right from the human heart, and that's where the dynamic energy comes from, the human heart. And it's letting human beings begin to build these relationships as they will, as they want to. And the government perhaps should stand back and just let the people have their way, because I think there would be less, more tolerance perhaps, and less antagonisms and less violence in the world if there was not so much government interference.
But another aspect of this that I think needs addressing is a factor of Western society, particularly American society, and particularly the present times, where there seems to be this accepted belief that egalitarianism defines human relationships, that we are all equal, that we are all the same, and that we're all on the same level. That's not the case. Anybody with any common sense at all can look around and see, no, we're not. There are great differences in levels of intelligence and in skill and in capacity, but they are differences of evolution. The end goal that we are all pursuing as human beings in evolution is the same. We are all headed to the Father's home, so to speak. And in that sense, the oneness of humanity is a fact. But we are all at different levels on that evolutionary spiral. And I don't think it helps to deny that fact. In fact, once it's accepted, we can understand why there are these enormous differences in consciousness. If you don't have the experience that another person farther ahead on the evolutionary spiral has, you can't grasp their mindset. But the greater can always include the lesser, but the lesser cannot include the greater. And I'm sorry if that sounds a bit elitist, but I include myself in that. The beings who stand ahead of me on the spiritual path, I cannot imagine the scope of their vision, but they can imagine mine, and that's true of all of us.
And we should be grateful that they are there, because mm-hmm. they do provide incentive and a certain degree of vision.
And hope.
And ideas that will help us to attain that next step that we all have to take in moving forward towards this sense of oneness. And it's true, we're not all one on the outer planes, but there is a great diversity, but that also should give way to a sense of unity.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Serving Humanity, a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. And Serving Humanity is an inspiring compilation of extracts that will help the reader's understanding of the part humanity plays in the divine plan and the underlying oneness that unites us all. What you need to do is to send a check or a money order, $19, to Lucis Publishing, L-U-C-I-S for Lucis, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And you've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.